Welcome to the Litigation Finance Podcast. I'm your host, John Freund. This podcast is brought to you by the Litigation Finance Journal, the only dedicated news source to the litigation finance industry. Please visit www.litigationfinancejournal.com. Our guest today is Tony Webster, CEO of Sentry Funding. Sentry offers the UK's largest panel of litigation funders and ATE providers to solicitors. During the past 27 years, Tony has held various positions in the financial services sector and has successfully founded several startups, taking them from origination to VC funding to exit. Tony, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, John. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, we're excited to have you. So let's just start with the broad strokes. What drew you into the litigation finance sector specifically? I understand there is a sort of a personal story involving access to justice involved here, so I want to get your take on that.
Okay. So let's start with, I've been in banking for 30 years. And when we was watching the growth on litigation finance back in 2010, when the Jackson Review was going on. And back then I was the CEO of a company that originated a different type of platform, but it was a processing system that utilized technology to speed up lending proposals from banks. And we were approached by a law firm that was doing PPI funding, and we'd done some admin for them. It's a tiny little fund, about 3 million. So that's where we first found out about litigation funding. And then in the crash, there was two bits of why I got involved. In the crash in 2008, we had about 60 contracts with the big banks in the UK. And they were five-year contracts, and we were about 2 years into the contracts when one of the banks, I won't tell you their name, but one of the banks cancelled the contract, of which we told them that you couldn't. You're not allowed to cancel the contract. It's a five-year contract. And their response was, in the nicest possible way, that we've got deep pockets. Yes, we know that we're not allowed to, but if you want to litigate, then we would throw a load of money at it and tie you up for years. Of which point we went and see a litigating lawyer, and they completely backed that story up. So they said to us, yeah, and it, again, large bank, said that how much money have you got in the bank? And we didn't have much left after the crash. And it was like, well, you haven't got enough money to litigate. And it's through that we started getting more and more involved. And then I had another instance a couple of years later where we were sitting, again, big litigation firm, another company, where we had an issue, and they literally said that the company that we needed to sue was turning over about $1 billion. We were turning over a few million. And the words exactly were, you're not rich enough to litigate against them, which I was outstanding. And so that's when we started looking into litigation funding and getting involved. We just thought, we can't have this. Nobody should be told you can't afford justice. And so that's where we really got our appetite.
Yeah, there's so many of those like David versus Goliath stories. It's sad to hear that that's how the legal system works, but it's great to hear that you took yours and really decided to go do something with it and, you know, join the litigation finance sector and really help folks get access to justice, because that's really what this sector was built on. So that's, I guess, is a sort of a silver lining there. Why don't you explain to us how the Sentry portal works? Because this is pretty unique, I think. If you could describe, you know, the user experience from, let's say, from both the solicitor side of things, those looking for litigation funding or insurance products, and the funders themselves, the funders or the ATE providers themselves. How does this whole thing operate?
Yeah, so again, back in 2010, we were then going to come in as a funder. So because of our backgrounds in lending, we thought we could introduce some technology to speed up the process. So we started looking initially to be a funder, and we started building the software. And as already mentioned, the Jackson Reviews, so much was changing that we took a step back, carried on with our other business activities and didn't get involved. Then in 2015, again, the growth in the UK, I think then had hit into the hundreds of millions, if not close to $1 billion of assets under management in litigation funding. So we thought, no, it's now big enough for us to come into. It was now settled down with the Jackson Reviews. Everyone knew what they were doing. So we do a lot of research. And so we were researching with over 100 law firms, all the big firms that everyone would have heard of. And we would go in and see them and say, right, we're coming into the market, we're going to use technology, what do you want it to do, et cetera, et cetera. And it was through them conversations and just through the growth of the market that the benefit of just another funder coming in, we didn't think was good enough. So we thought, actually, we could adapt our technology. And rather than be a funder, why don't we operate as a portal where we have lots of funders and lots of insurers? So our whole emphasis then come on of doing the portal. And the nearest thing for us is a broker, which we don't like. But the hat that nearest fits us is that you're a broker because you've got a panel. So we have 17 funders on the panel and 7 insurers. And the benefit is to the law firm. So we have 2 sets of customers, law firm on one hand, and on the other hand is the providers, the funders and the insurers. The lawyers will come to us to give them the best option from those panel of 17. And we do that utilizing the technology. So the first bit of the tech, so the solicitor will come in, load up a new case, answer a load of questions, and then there's an algorithm which will narrow those 17 funders down to the best few. And then it comes down to then the terms from those funders, and then we process it accordingly. So it's a very good solution for a lawyer that's under pressure to make sure they get the best deal for their client without having to go for a broker, because it's all done online and you get a decision within 5 minutes. Depends how quick you can key. But if you can key the questions quick enough, within 5 minutes, you'll get a simple yes or no. And that's where it then goes down to using the tech to make that happen. And then all the milestones within the tech get it from application then to actually getting the funds out within a couple of weeks.
Wow, that's really great. And yeah, I could definitely see a value there of a portal that connects to a variety of different funders. That seems extremely useful for law firms and lawyers looking for that for those products. You mentioned that really speedy, a quick response time. Is that your Rapid Raise Fast Track product, or is that a separate product?
Yes. Yeah, so we used to call it Fast Track, but we brought that across from our banking backgrounds, as in Fast Track. Nothing to do with the court system in the UK. It was just Fast Track, as in a fast track to money. And we've now just rebranded that to Rapid Raise, because there is a bit of confusion because of the different tracks that you have through the UK courts. And on Rapid Raise, there's 3 products within the Rapid Raise. The first one is for the one-off commercials, and that's anyone that needs funding between 50,000 and $500,000. Then you've got Rapid Raise 2, which is scheme funding, where there's established case law, and that's between 5,000 and 20,000 of funding. And then you've got the smaller ones, which is Rapid Raise 3, which is things like pledging, housing disrepair, which then come in under 5,000 of funding. And we can do that because of the tech. We can process the volume. Without the tech, you can't do it. But all of that is, yeah, that's where we specialize. We can add some proper value under $500,000. Over $500,000, I think you should go to the funders direct, because otherwise we are a third party. Whereas under $500,000, it's all outsourced to us and we're processing it. And it really is, you know, there's a saying in the UK, is the computer says yes or the computer says no. If the computer says yes and you back up all the documents, then you can have the money within 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's really great. And I do want to dig into that $500,000 number, because that's interesting. You're focusing on really the smaller end of the claims market there. I mean, you mentioned profitability. Can you explain that a little bit more? Just the reason you choose to focus on this end of the market. I've heard from funders specifically that it's difficult to achieve a consistent ROI when you're operating this end of the market. Well, that's the funders themselves. I guess you're a portal, so maybe it's a bit different. So can you speak to that?
Yeah, but I think from the funders' perspective, and we have this. I do lots of meetings with funders that sit on our panel. And the vast majority of them don't want to do less than $500,000 cases, which is why we come up with the Rapid Raise. That has 3 funders that are quite happy to do those type of cases, but we would always like more funders on that Rapid Raise. And I think the issue that a funder has is they treat a case, whether they're underwriting for $2 million or $200,000, exactly the same. And it's not exactly the same because the risk is different. If you're putting $2 million into a case, then do you know what? It you're going to take a long time looking at it. But if you're putting $200,000 into a case and you can do 10 of them, then that just gets a bit insurance. You're aggregating your risk across a lot of cases. You've got to expect you're going to lose maybe a couple, but on the whole, you'll win. And when you then put that across hundreds or thousands of cases, then the numbers work out. But you need technology to do it. If, again, we come up with the half a million limit, is that's where the research, the lawyers in the UK were telling us, is that's where they were struggling. If you look at the funders in the UK, the ones that we all know of, now you've got some small LPs that you know are not the big boys, but everyone wants the big cases. Every funder is in competition for the £1 million plus funded cases. And their criteria is all pretty standard. You know, they all think they do something unique, but they don't. As long as you've got a case of decent merits and you want more than $1 million, there's a lot of people you can go to. When you come down to under half a million, there's very few that will do it because they don't have the personnel, the manpower, or even the knowledge to do the smaller cases. And that's why we concentrate there. So we can add value in those smaller cases, whereas we can't on the big ones.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I want to ask about regulation. You know, this has sort of become an industry watchword. It has been a hot topic for some time, but it's really kicked off recently with Australia having passed some really impactful regulation. They've had some like large U.S. style group actions there, which have led to some regulation coming down the pike. I know the UK has its own sort of large group actions. Now, obviously, you're not operating in that sector, but you know, regulation can just affect the whole industry if it, wherever it comes from. So I'm wondering if you're concerned at all about any impending regulation in the UK. Is what's on the horizon there? Can you speak to that at all?
Yeah, well, I think because I come from a regulated background, is we're not scared of regulation. So at Sentry, when we built the portal, we've built it for regulation. So everything is date and time stamped, everything's transparent, every document sits in an encrypted file. It's all there for everybody to see. And I think what regulation brings to any industry is just a process, is you have to do things at certain times and you have to disclose certain documents. So we're not scared of regulation. Now, I don't think regulation will ever come into litigation funding because it falls really under the banner of similar to commercial lending. Commercial lending in the UK is not regulated. Again, we think, personally, I think it should be. I think anything where you're touching money or investments should be regulated. And it's a process. And once you have that process in place, it's not an issue. And I think it contradicts itself in the UK when you've got the SRA. So lawyers are regulated, but the funders aren't. And I think we should close that gap. I mean, we're a member of ALF, and ALF is doing its best for self-regulation. So we have got some form of regulation within the industry, but I don't think anyone should be scared of it. You know, I think let's have the whole process regulated. Then we all know what we're doing. Everyone knows what you've got to share with the people that you're ultimately funding. And I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, we've heard that from some of the funders themselves over the years that, you know, regulation, it's inevitable anyway. So the funding community should get ahead of it and be involved and help construct, you know, constructive regulation that doesn't really dampen the industry growth prospects. So, that makes a lot of sense. The final question, what are your expansion plans? How do you plan to scale this business? Are you looking at any global jurisdictions? Could you move into the EU or the US? What do you have on the horizon?
Yeah, so we want to get much bigger in the UK. I think the market in the UK is big. We're not trying to do everything in there, but again, it's now reportedly over a $2 billion market. We want to be the go-to place for the smaller cases. So if you've got under half a million funding requirement, come to us and then we'll give you the best house for that money. Once we've got a decent foothold in the UK, and we're getting there, I mean, we've processed over 2,500 cases in the last 2 years, and that's increasing month on month. We're very keen. We've already built some stuff. If you jumped on our website, you'll see that there's a drop down where it says Canada and New Zealand. That's our next jurisdictions we want to go into, and then ultimately going into the States, just because it's such a big market. And I think because the portal helps everyone, so you know, it helps the solicitors find the right type of funding, and for the funders, it's a great origination tool. Outsource all the administration that goes for it. So, you know, when we give a case to a funder, it's to be funded. And I think it can only help. And hopefully, you know, there'll be more than one of us. I know we're the first into the UK, but I think the market could easily have three or four portal type companies. And yeah, let's get abroad as quick as we can. So hopefully this time next year, I'd like to think we was in our next jurisdiction, which will be Canada.
Yeah, it's exciting stuff. Well, you'll have to come back on the podcast when you make it across the pond and tell us about your adventures over here in North America.
Yeah, we'd love to. And we're really excited. We have been speaking to some of the law firms out there, and it's ripe. You know, all we keep hearing is, oh, when you coming? But we want a bigger foothold in the UK first.
Right. Well, that's great to hear, and really exciting stuff. It's a very unique portal. You know, I'm sure it's going to be a huge success. So, Tony, thank you so much for coming on here today and explaining Sentry's business model and sharing your thoughts on the litigation finance sector with us.
John, thank you very much, and keep up the good work, because we love listening to your podcast.
Thank you. And if you're interested in learning more about Sentry Funding, you can visit them at their website, www.sentryfunding.co.uk. That's S-E-N-T-R-Y funding.co.uk. And we hope you enjoyed this episode. We'll see you on the next episode of the Litigation Finance Podcast.